It is Wednesday, and that means fresh, I was going to say hot off the press. There he is now. Hot off the press himself is Mr. Cian Manning, back for another week of I Love Me County. Cian, good morning.
Yeah, it's the sunburn is just going down now after that fabulous spell in May.
It was a nice couple of days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've gone from purple to red.
Cian, where are we going to this week?
This week is kind of more of a sort of an artistic...
I enjoy this. I'm cultured.
Exploration. There is a little bit of Welsh, which, considering I have a lot of difficulty in speaking English... could be an experience for a lot of people.
We'll appreciate your efforts, Cian.
That Google pronunciation, or there are other pronunciation apps can be used, has been red hot, like my skin. The figure today is a man called Edward Moreland Lewis. Poor Edward, or Teddy as he was known, died in August 1943.
Oh, we're starting at the end of his life.
Starting at the end, yeah. So he died in a hospital in North Africa, in Tunisia, due to malaria. And I suppose we're going to look at a couple of his paintings. And the question I was going to throw at yourself was, could you guess what his role in the army was?
You can ask me that at the end. Okay.
So there's no pressure.
Okay.
Edward Moreland Lewis, he was born in 1903, and he was a native of Carmarthen. So his father was a local amateur artist, Benjamin Archibald. And obviously some of that skill and artistic endeavour rubbed off on Teddy, and he trained at the Carmarthen School of Art. He then later went to the Royal Academy School, which was pretty prestigious. And there he was influenced by a man called Walter Richard Sickert. If it's a good, fine, strong name. And the reason why I mention him is it kind of influences the style that Edward Moreland Lewis sort of pursues then. Today, seen as probably like one of the premier artists that has ever been produced from Wales. It's really kind of an interesting connection in the sense of a lot of his scenes depict Wales, but he actually spends most of his life away from Carmarthen and away from Wales. So a lot of it is in London. He's a member of the London Artists Association in the early 30s. In 1938, he wins the World Cup of Painting, essentially.
There's a World Cup? Okay, yeah, it's not called the World Cup of Painting, is it?
No, it was essentially this international competition that was held in California. So it had like submissions from 79 countries, really critically acclaimed.
It's the who's who like of painters.
When you think like how slow information and news passed then, this is your mic drop moment. Like,
goodness
you know,
me.
The painting that he was awarded for, this major prize in 1938, was called The Welsh Coast and Hills, which depicts Ferryside Beach, which anyone that's into Dylan Thomas would know of the significance of that. And then in 1940... Edward, or Teddy, is now working in the Chelsea Polytechnic, and he also marries K.M. Godfrey Fawcett Osborne.
Just the one surname wasn't enough, no?
So I wouldn't like to have seen the wedding invitation. I'd say there would have been an extra little flip there.
Pull out for more.
And we'll keep the mystery of their best man for near the end.
Oh, great.
As well. We know he was in Ireland twice, one in 1930 and again in 1937, where he spent about 2 years. He was based in Cork. Some of the names for his paintings are not great when you're trying to go and identify.
So Cian has, to set the scene, he's very kindly printed off in beautiful colour print here some of the paintings of Edward Moreland Lewis.
Yeah, so we have three in front of us. There's a couple more and they're given very vague titles like Irish Quayside, River Quayside. The Irish Quayside, for instance, depicts the clock tower. River Quayside depicts Regent's Tower, which is quite handy for us considering how vague the name is.
Yes.
There's another one there which actually has water in the name, which is Water Quayside with Steamboat. There's another famous one at the Scotch Quay as well. They're kind of all over Britain at the moment.
A serious maritime love affair.
Yeah, he was really like into, I suppose he's probably following his father's interest in being sort of obsessed with sea and beaches and quaysides and the rivers. And I suppose probably with the size of Wales, I would say probably ran out of locations. He ended up then going to places like Northern France, Spain and Ireland. Then when you look at his technique, he actually used photography, composing the images. He would take a picture. So when you look at them, the way they're drafted, they're pretty accurate. The way they would look, like the one at Regent's Tower, is bang on.
Well, they could be looking at a slightly blurry photograph here, to be honest with you. It's very well done.
So what he used to do is he would take a photograph. He would then work and sketch the photograph onto... some sort of sketchbook, and he would then divide it up and he would have loads of notes about the colours. So they say the big difference was that he was like accurate as regards the depiction of the image, the sketching, but when it came to the colour, that he would kind of use his imagination a bit more. So certainly when you look at the Regent's Tower one, it looks like sunny France.
There's kind of sandy undertones here, isn't there? Yeah. It looks quite lovely. It looks warm.
And they're even saying, like, just before the war, that he kind of became less restricted in the way he applied paint. So when you look at, say, the clock tower, you can actually kind of capture, there's this kind of motion going on. If your eyesight is not great, you're probably saying they're a bit blurry. But
my glasses are still on at this point.
but there's this sort of magic going on that's very hard to...
Yep.
That's why I was reluctant to come in and sort of describe them myself. Anne Lodwick from Wales, who's done a lot to bring back Edward Morden Lewis's name and legacy to Wales itself in the late 90s, noted that Morden Lewis was the foremost artist of Wales in the 1930s. Just as his artistic talents were beginning to be widely acknowledged, he was killed in active service. The two questions we had then, the first one was, could you guess?
See, I get the feeling it's absolutely nothing to do with creativity, but it's where I'm naturally going to go. Did he, like, paint the artillery? Was he a...
Do you know what? You're not far off.
Really?
He was a camouflage officer.
Okay, what's a camouflage officer?
So he would, like, obviously to get things to sort of fit in with the landscape. So you imagine, like, North Africa.
Yeah.
Those kind of tonal colours. Mm-hmm. So just that it would give people, like, our soldiers sort of extra security of not being so easy to spot as a target.
Everybody looked like Reginald's Tower with their sandy undertones.
Yes, with those sandy undertones. He would have made a fortune as a makeup artist if I could get my skin to look like Reginald's Tower. We'd all be doing really well.
Where is he buried, Cian? What's...
Well, we actually don't know too much about that. We...
That's why you shouldn't let me ask questions.
pretty sure he's back in his native Wales, in Carmarthen. But another interesting connection was the best man was actually Dylan Thomas.
What?
Yeah, he was Edward Morden Lewis's best man when he got married in 1940.
Oh, you have me all starstruck here now.
And there's a quote from Dylan Thomas. There's a great interview with Dylan Thomas from the BBC. And I thought a lot of it kind of applied when you look at the scenes of Waterford City that he depicted, that Morden Lewis depicted, that they're kind of like an eerie resemblance to sort of the state of mind of people of Waterford have. So the quote from Thomas is, "The envy of Laon is its minding of its own strange business, its sane disregard for haste, its generous acceptance of the follies of others, having so many ripe and piping of its own, its insular feather bed air, its philosophy of it all be the same in 100 years' time."
God, that's gorgeous. Oh my gosh, you've actually blown my mind with the Dylan Thomas connection.
What kind of fascinates me about stories like this of others and how others see us is the idea that, you know, for a long time we can kind of get caught up in the same stories and the same perceptions. And I know that quote said it'll all be the same in 100 years' time. But it's just interesting to think that they are these figures that have even a glancing pass through there. And like with Morden Lewis, because he died so young, that they are these paintings in Oxford University and the National Welsh Museum and Carmarthen County Museum. I certainly know if we had them here for a little while, the buzz that would come around, because people do get so much from just seeing art, and it's very hard what we were doing there to try and describe it. But if people can go and check them out online, they'll definitely, I think they'll get a good energy from it as well.
Welsh County Council, if you're listening here at the moment, Cian Manning is making an open call for the paintings to be restored to what inspired them initially. Incidentally, my sister lives just outside Carmarthen, so I'll be going over later in the summer and you'll get a picture of me when I go hunting.
Excellent.
For this poor man's gravesite. I'll say, Cian, I'm after finding it. Cian Manning, as always, thank you so much. If you missed any of Cian's installments of the last few weeks, you can check them out on the podcast section of WLRFM.com.